Waging War on Corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There is an excellent story out of Reality Check posted up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Death of the free internet is imminent. Canada will be the test case. I'm going to cover part of this article in one moment. But first, let me, in most basic of terms, give you the declared, publicly stated plan by a consortium of universities, corporations, and governments. This is very, very important. 6 years ago, I learned of an organization called Internet Tube. They've met in London, Austin, Texas, Tokyo, Chicago. This consortium puts out a declaration each year, the Internet is dead, and we killed it. They report that they have built and were building over the last 10 years, but I learned of it 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I guess it was about in 2001, so I guess it's almost 7 years. That they are building a new high-speed internet grid. The phone companies and the government and the universities are working together to do it. And that they are going to force the old internet traffic over onto that system and not upgrade the original switching hubs and systems within what we knew as the organic internet. Now, when Cogent and Level 3... just a couple of years ago, we're in a fight for a week and a half. About a third of the internet was down. Remember that? That was just two backbone providers who were smaller, by the way. There's scores of them not letting traffic go over each other's systems because they were in a fight with each other, and it crippled the internet. Well, if they would have just passed a law ending net neutrality a year ago, you would have seen the internet descend into that overnight. So there's a lot of different facets that Internet 2 is using. But they don't want to do that till Internet 2 is fully in place. Now they have built Internet 2, and they're going to say, well, you come over here and get on this internet, but you've got to be tracked. Your ISP's got to be tracked. You're going to be taxed. You've got to pay to be on this internet. There's only going to be a few thousand websites and choices on this internet. Some people will be allowed to have sub-sites on those, like MySpace, but you'll sign a contract where they can restrict you or control you or automatically block certain keywords. Our videos. This is all being announced. And so the internet as you know it is being ended, is being dismantled. Then Time Warner and Comcast in Texas and New York and other places, as well as England, two big internet providers, have announced they will control and give preferential treatment to go to certain classes of websites, big corporate sites, but slow down or block altogether other individual sites that aren't on these master lists. So it's a filter they make you go through. Say if you're on Time Warner Cable in Austin, you'll notice if you type in a wrong URL, it's on a computer error on your screen now. You're on the Time Warner screen. They're now directing everything through their system. Do you understand? Just amazing. And so they've got a multifaceted attack that they are carrying out. They're forcing everybody over to Internet 2 where they can regulate, control, tax, trace everything you're doing. Make you pay to get on. While they don't repair the old hubs, while the companies start ending agreements with each other saying, well, we're allowed to let Internet 1 die, and then forcing you over to Internet 2. But that isn't killing things fast enough for them. France, England, Canada, China, and scores of other nations are building firewalls with tens of thousands of names, websites, and systems from Infowars.com to the BBC that are being blocked out. There's other censorship. Companies, universities, schools, libraries, city, free Wi-Fi systems that aren't free, you pay for it with tax money, they're now getting master list and blocking things. So see, it's a whole witch's brew of systems to bring it down. But now there's been new developments, We will cover these huge developments on the other side of this break. This is how they are killing the internet right now. It's happening now. You're not going to have to wait to see it happen.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The true story of the Bilderberg Group. The late, great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today. Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calvin Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calvin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calvin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs. From bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals. No animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calvin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
When I learned that the accumulation of acidic waste was the likely cause of my painful joints, lack of energy, and weight gain, I knew I would have to change to a more alkaline diet, but it just seemed so difficult. Then a friend suggested I try a Jupiter Water Ionizer from SnyderHealth.com and detox my body even before I changed my diet by drinking alkaline ionized water. Drinking water? Now that's something I can handle. The guys at Snyder Health took the time to explain all of the different options and help me choose the ionizer that was right for me. I use my new Jupiter ionizer for everything, for drinking, for cooking. And since I've been drinking the water, I have more energy, my joint pains are gone, and I already lost 7 pounds, and my skin looks great. Give them a call today at 877-356-2508 to find out which ionizer is right for you. They offer a full 30-day money-back guarantee and free shipping, so there's absolutely no risk. You can visit them on the web at SnyderHealth.com. That's SnyderHealth.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We got Dr. Nick Begich joining us in about 5 minutes. I'm going to bring this up to him and get his take on it as well. The death of the free internet is imminent. Canada will be the test ground. So I've gone over the basics. They're trying to end net neutrality. They want to cover that and just label it differently by saying, well, companies have a right to not service and feed these old systems into other companies. We're just moving on to a more advanced but more limited and more elite network. And yes, this is a private slash governmental network, and so you don't have free speech on this system. And then they also have censorship of speech and prosecution of speech and calls to tax the internet and to control how much you can download or how much you can surf. But now the two big telecoms in Canada, France is also calling for this, have now come out and said, we're going to limit the number of sites you can go to, period. See, there you go. Just to end that wild surfing, because it's killing the mainstream media. That's one of the big reasons. It is discrediting the establishment. DARPA dubbed it in the 80s, the World Wide Web, after they'd fully developed it and launched it, because they wanted to use it as a worldwide wiretap. And they've done that. But people aren't intimidated, and aren't scared by all that we're spying on you, we're watching you, we're tracking you. People said, so what, tyrants? Okay, follow me, track me, go to hell, is basically what they've said. So now they're like, oh yeah, we'll just get rid of it. Death of the free internet is imminent. Canada will be the test case. The last 15 years or so, as a society, we have access to more information than ever before in modern history because of the internet. There are approximately 1 billion internet users in the world, and any one of these users can theoretically communicate in real time with anyone else in the planet. The internet has been the greatest technological achievement of the 20th century by far. Yeah, it's bigger than the A-bomb, and has been recognized as such by the global community. The free transfer of information, uncensored, unlimited, and untainted, still seems to be a dream when you think about it. Whatever field that is mentioned, education, commerce, government, news, entertainment, politics, countless other areas have been radically affected by the introduction of the internet. It lowered the playing field, and the elite are losing the ballgame now, so they're going to turn over the checkerboard. I added that part. And mostly it's good news, except with poor judgments are made and people are taken advantage of. But that happens with freedom, folks. It's much better than tyranny. Security and oversight are needed, especially when children are involved. However, when there are potential profits open to corporations, the needs of society don't count. See, they're hijacking the web we paid for and we built. That's the key here. Take the recent case in Canada with the behemoths TELUS and Rogers rolling out a charge for text messaging without any warning to the public. It was an arrogant and risky move for the telecommunications giant because it backfired. And that's the key. You've got to leave them when they do this. Because once they all do it, you can't escape. Because actually use internet technology to deliver a loud and clear message to these companies, and that was to scrap the extra charge. The people use the power of the internet against the big boys, and the little guys won. However, the issue of text messaging is just a tip and a tiny blip on the radar screens of TELUS and another company, Bell Canada, the two largest internet service providers, or ISPs, in Canada. Our country is being used as a test case to dramatically change the delivery of internet service forever. So is Texas. The charge will be so radical, and the change will be so radical, that it has the potential to send us back to the horse and buggy days of information sharing and access. In the upcoming weeks, not months, watch for a report in Time magazine that will attempt to smooth over the rough edges of a diabolical plot by Bell Canada and TELUS. Now listen to me carefully, folks, this is huge. They begin charging per-site fees on most internet sites. See, they're going to charge you to go to InfoWars and Prison Planet, but you won't be charged to go to Time Warner. They admit that. Thousands of the big boys are going to pay fees to be listed. And if it isn't on the allowed list on the firewall, then you don't go there. We'll see. Then next it'll be you're not allowed to go there. Canada's already called to block my website and others. The plan is to convert the internet into a cable-like system where consumers sign up for specific websites and then pay to visit sites beyond a cutoff point. Now, they have links to the announcement. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. And if they're able to get this over on the well-meaning, jolly, head-in-the-clouds Canadians. I mean, Americans are completely ignorant and brainwashed, but Canadians tend to be more informed on international politics, but have no idea how tyrannical their government is, because it's velvet-fisted tyranny. The corporate marauders will iron out the wrinkles in Canada and then spring the new, castrated version of the internet on the rest of the world, probably with little fanfare except for some dire warnings about the evil of the internet and the free internet, and the CEO spouting about safety and security. These buzzwords usually work pretty well. And then they go into what will the internet look like in 2010. And I want to get Nick Begich's take on this. Do we have him? We now go to Dr. Nick Begich. Dr. Nick Begich serves as executive director of the Lay Institute of Technology, Inc., a Texas nonprofit corporation. He's also the publisher and co-author of Earth Pulse Press, Incorporated, an Alaskan-based organization. Dr. Begich is the eldest son of the late United States Congressman from Alaska, Nick Begich Sr., and political activist Peggy Begich. He is well-known in Alaska for his own political activities. He has twice been elected president of both the Alaska Federation of Teachers and the Anchorage Council of Education. He has been pursuing independent research in the sciences and politics for most of his adult life. Begich received his doctorate in traditional medicine from the Open International University of Complementary Medicines in 94. He co-authored with Gene Manning the book Angels Don't Play This Harp, Advances in Tesla Technology. Begich also authored Earth Pulse 1 and 2 with the late James Roderick. He has published articles in Science, politics and education, and is a well-known lecturer, having presented throughout the United States and in 19 countries, including to the European Parliament. He has been featured as a guest on thousands of radio broadcasts, reporting his research activities, including new technologies, health and earth science-related issues. He has also appeared on dozens of television documentaries and other programs throughout the world, including BBC and CBC TV, Telemundo. And I would add, he's one of the leading experts on patents and declassified information on mind control, weather manipulation, bioweapons, chemical weapons, surveillance that is admitted but not known, not generally known, so for all intents and purposes, secret, because people are not aware of it. So I want to talk to him on about a host of issues in the next hour and 35, 40 minutes that we have him for. Really honored to be talking to him. But I did find the story today. It's up on Infowars.com from Reality Check, and did go and confirm that the big ISPs in Canada are going to go ahead and go to Internet 2 in the next few months. They're going to try it. And I wanted to get, because I know you've been on top of this, to talk about the multi-pronged attack on the Internet that is now happening. Time Warner's doing this in some towns in Texas, and I wanted to get your expert take on that as a technologist on what we're facing, A, and how you think we should counter it, Dr. Begich.
Well, you know, the Internet itself has been, when it first started, you know, everybody was sort of non-commercial. You know, it was all about geeks and high technology, and eventually it became, you know, big commercial enterprise. I mean, when you really think about it, from a globalist perspective, it's always been about markets and building patterns and incomes. And when you start to look at what they've amassed, the biggest issue with the Internet is personal privacy, which is still not adequately guarded, in my view. You know, when you think about all of the data banks surrounding our lives today, you know, it used to be the doorway to your home was the threshold to your privacy, and today it's really a digital doorway. And so when you talk about the Internet, it's more than just the commercial aspects. And certainly making money on the Internet has been, in the way of tracking data, has been one thing. But the data itself is valuable. When you can look at a person's profile, when you start to look at millions and millions of people's activity and then their political persuasions, sort of their background, you can really refine. Profiling becomes an art form of unbelievable predictability. And so then you start to look at manipulation of that data. And this is where targeted advertising comes into play on an unprecedented scale. Virtually being able to identify candidates, political issues, products that you're going to say yes to most likely. And then that you become the target of that advertising.
And it's tying the entire world population into an NSA snooping grid so they can build detailed psychological algorithms and truly know your heart of hearts. It's much worse than physically surveilling you. It surveils your most innermost secrets, and it's also done in the comfort of your own home with our evolutionary development for feeling like we have privacy in our cave, truly scanning. And I'm not getting into an evolution debate. I mean, you know, our development as humans, just absolutely amazing. But I first, we're about to break, want to get your take on their attempts to come in and regulate it and shut it down now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at the military side of it, it's already been moved aside. You know, you got to go. They have their own sort of search networks, kind of excluded from the what most people deal with. The research sites are getting pressed down as well, where there's less and less access. And that whole constraining of data is really working against modern democracy in this century.
Okay, Doc, I want to skip the break for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and people listening on the Internet. For everybody else, if you're listening on another stream, you'll miss the next 4 minutes. If not, go to Infowars.com and click on the Listen Live button. You'll be able to hear us talk. I'm going to skip some of these breaks so that we don't waste time with Dr. Nick Begich. We'll continue discussing everything with him right now.
Jim.
Okay, Doc, we're going to come back in 4 minutes to the full audience, but let's not waste time. Keep going with how you're chronicling what's happening to the web.
Well, when you start to look at all of it together, and this is what we've tried to say in all of our writing and all of our work the last 15 years, is when you start to you look at any one of these little snapshots within the sort of public bubble of information, and the way the military and planners, NSA, Homeland Insecurity, whoever it is, look at this is it's incremental. It's like one slice at a time. Something hits the news, stays in the news for about 30 seconds, and it's gone. And when you start to connect it, when you start to look at the aspects of the Internet that truly created an environment where people could communicate at an unprecedented level, exchange ideas without the filtering of a controlled media. And that is a dangerous thing from a globalist perspective, ultimately. When you start to look at then what was being gained by it. I mean, think about Google recently. I mean, the Chinese get to pick their brains to find out who to go beat up in the street or whatever thug approach to government they want to operate over there. The cooperation of telecommunications companies for surveillance of American populations, then retroactively, you know, sort of saying, oh, we're sorry, but no one's going to prosecute you, even though you violate the civil liberties of everyone in the country. When you look at the shutdown of the Freedom of Information Act under this administration at a level that has been the slowest amount of information coming forward to the public that deserves to be public, much of it 40, 50 years old, for goodness sakes. And, you know, that's been constrained. The classifying of information at unprecedented levels.
You know, you made me think there before. I forget, let me ask you about this to elaborate there. People always ask me, well, why did they declassify things 50, 60 years ago that was incriminating or 20 years ago? Well, back then we were more of a free society. We hadn't been fully taken over under the National Security Act of 47. There was a process of usurpation going on. But now they do have to ban basically declassifying anything because now it can actually be used. 20, 30 years ago, the corporate press was so narrowly controlled and regulated and had so many spooks in it that so what if you got a declassified document that Gulf of Tonkin was staged? You might labor and get a self-published book made that maybe 1,000 people will read, but then the so now this knowledge can damage them.
Oh, yeah. Because people like you, people like me, a lot of others all over the country, and a lot of individual committees of one listening to this broadcast, pick up information and pass it on. And that, you know, the true democracy in the 21st century is about information. It's about being able to make sure that the integrity of information is good, number one. Because if we digitize everything, we put it all on the net, you know, history kind of becomes flexible. I like paper. You know, I'm a paper fiend when it comes to saving data because in the early days of the Internet, it was very unreliable. You know, you'd have to go pull the documents and stuff was quoted out of context and so on, and you'd really have to look the paper up. When we published our first book, the book Angels Don't Play This Harp, it was about library work more than the Internet. You know, our last book.
Oh, and I mean, my first films, back when I was first doing radio in 95, 96, well, TV 95, radio
right.
96, I remember going to the library every week.
Right. That's where we got our good information. The Internet might have gave us a lead or a tip, but you couldn't trust it. Well, then it changed and became, you know, more mainstream and more trustworthy. But at the same time, recognize data goes up, data goes down. A lot of things all of a sudden are gone. You know, things you were referencing to people, they're gone. And this is why we've always printed out the paper. And when you do that and you retain it, and then you start to string it together in a reasonable, coherent form.
Then stay there. We're going to come back to the full audience right now. Continue.
Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Begich is giving us a general lecture on some of the history of the Internet, how it gave rise to a huge researching community, how now the government doesn't want to declassify anything because that information can now be shared and actually damage them, whether they could declassify 20 years ago, evidence about staging Gulf of Tonkin, nobody could share it. You had a few little research communities that knew about it, and they could never get on television or the radio. Now that's all been shattered. They have to shut down the web. Dr. Begich, I don't see any choice. They've tried to put out a bunch of background chatter. The Pentagon's admitted for the last 5 years they're engaging in propaganda in the U.S. and worldwide, quote, countering disinfo on the web. Now Wikipedia engages in all sorts of lies and disinfo, and is now very disreputable. I mean, a few years ago they were a little bit better, but still questionable. So we're just seeing a lot of dirty tricks, but now they're saying, look, we're just going to not let you have free access to the web, and we're going to block out millions of websites and only let you go to a few thousand corporate sites, which sounds like a lot of choices, but really isn't. Dr. Begich?
This is exactly the wrong direction. And, you know, when you look at telecommunications law and sort of how it's evolved, it's really, you know, once again, you can't look at any of these things in a vacuum. And I know you and your audience don't do that. You look at the whole picture and you start to see a very finely woven carpet that works against the average person, works against individual sovereignty. And the internet represents individual sovereignty in the 21st century. Our technologies of this century have the potential to enslave us or absolutely free us to some incredible possibilities, the kind of possibilities that I think were envisioned a couple hundred years ago.
I'm glad you always make that point. I'm glad you always make that point, Utter Baggage, because it isn't just that we don't want tyranny. No, we want all the incredible, unimaginable dividends of true liberty. Go back to your founding father comment.
Well, you know, and when you look back on that, you know, it was about being creative, being an individual, being able to take to your highest potentials with a government that didn't interfere with that. In fact, supported that possibility. And the government we've got today works against us. It comes at us in a way that never before in the history of this country have we lived through a period such as this, where people are really asleep at the switch in a lot of ways, mostly because we're all fatigued, you know, where everybody's working a couple of jobs, trying to stay ahead. And the reality is, that is the first step in what has reshaped so much of what's around us. And when you look at the technologies that are available to us, the internet, where we're starting this conversation today, you know, what have we gotten from that? Well, a community that actually can communicate in the scientific world, not through the controls of that world. You know, science is controlled as well. A lot of people don't realize it, but it's the academic institutions that become the switching center for what gets validated and what gets set on the shelf till 50 years later. Everybody dies with their dissertations, and so new ideas can come.
And that's
forward.
Predominantly done with funding, and 90%+ of research funding is funded by the federal government and DARPA.
Right, and the military. You know, then what happens is they fund all these projects, and then if someone gets a little bit too out there in terms of talking to the public, they sideline them and deny they ever participated. You know, it's what happened with Ben Eastland with his work on the HARP project initially. You know, they disavow him after the fact, and he passed away just a few months ago. And in fact, I'm doing an interview with Wired Magazine on HARP in the next couple of days, and his family sent me up the letterhead. Documents from APTI and from ARCO supporting the fact that he actually set this program up, something the military denies, you know, to this day, which is remarkable, you know, when you start to think about it, because that is the approach they've taken, is they initiate all this activity, then deny it until you extract it from them. A good friend of mine's dad was a U.S. Supreme Court justice, and he was trained as an attorney. And what the guy told me one time is he said, "You never concede a point. You make them extract it from you." And that's how the government operates today. Instead of giving you information, it's about withholding information from the public so the public doesn't get a chance to weigh in on the very important decisions that are affecting us right now and will affect us far into the future. And it's, you know, I think when you start to look at that whole panorama of technology, you can go, oh, we don't need any of this. But the fact is, we have it. It's going to be here. We need to make sure it serves our interest. And that's what is not happening. That's why, you know, when you start to look at the ineffectiveness of our Congress today and why it's in the toilet, I mean, its ratings are lower than the president's right now. And it's because of their ineffectiveness at safeguarding an economy, working in the interest of the common person. They're so detached, so distant. And then the technologies we have are being turned against us when they ought to be turned into a situation where we're solving our problems. I mean, think about the energy nonsense crisis, so-called crisis we're in, totally unavoidable on the backdrop of American technology.
We're going to come back with Dr. Nick Baggage after this quick three-minute break and get into the energy non-crisis. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions, and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
Life has changed. We're not 21 anymore. We have responsibilities. That's why there's Drinkin' Made Hangover Defense. Sure, we've done our share of partying.
Yeah, dude.
Now, kicking back with the neighbors and a few beers is more our style. But let's face it, as we get older, even that can leave us feeling run down the next morning. With Drinkin' Mate, you can have a few drinks tonight without waking up feeling like you had a few. Drinkin' Mate's patented and proven formula of guava leaf extract has antioxidants and other unique properties that help prevent the headache, queasy stomach, and dehydration even a few drinks can leave behind. Just dissolve one Drinkin' Mate in water and take it before bed. It's that easy. The next morning, bring on the responsibilities. Drinkin' Mate Hangover Defense is available at retailers nationwide. Pick up some today. Remember your Drinkin' Mate and wake up feeling great.
Warning! The EPA states indoor air pollution is the number one health problem today, causing 50% of all illnesses. Go to germfree33.com. Technology developed for NASA is now available to protect your family and health. Laboratory proven to eliminate 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, bird flu, and more from all surfaces. germfree33.com. Remove pollen, mold, pet dander, dust mites, and more from the air. germfree33.com. World's best air purifiers. Nothing else compares. germfree33.com. No expensive filters to replace. Covers 3,000 square feet. See the proof at germfree33.com. Order from our secure website. Credit cards accepted. Order by phone. 800-492-1073. Payment plans available. 800-492-1073. germfree33.com. The world's best air purifiers.
My name out your window when I'm leaving. I won't even turn my head. Don't send your kin folks to give me no talking.
I'll be gone.
I'll be gone, like I said. You'd say the same old thing that you've been saying all along. Lay there in your bed and keep your mouth shut till I'm gone.
I know we've got a lot of people holding, a lot of phone calls. I'm going to get your calls before this hour's out with Dr. Nick Baggage. He'll be with us into the next hour. You can bring up any issue or topic with him. He is a scientist who has a lot of basic general knowledge across many different disciplines. Dr. Baggage, continuing with what we were talking about, I don't think the average person realizes how managed our society is or how managed major technological movements or rollouts truly are, and the fact that there is giant oil reserves in the Gulf and Alaska and all over the world. The oil companies have decided not to remove it, that they're artificially keeping prices up, and they love to blame it on the Arabs. Well, yeah, they're part of it, but it's part of the same elite, just like the oil companies are part of it, buying up refineries and closing them. But that's only one small area, as you know. Then there's all these other incredibly advanced technologies that are decades and decades old, that they could have put into place, and government then only offers incentives for a few of these late in the game so they can control those developments, and now they've got their global greenhouse tax fraud, which is meant to bring in a new dark age of control. I want to get your response to that, but please continue walking through what you were beginning to get into about just how technologically hamstrung and held back we are by these vested interests.
Right. You know, let me talk about oil and gas as a starting point, because that's in everybody's mind right now. And Alaska is, the Arctic actually holds 25% of all of the undiscovered oil and gas is what they estimate. And Alaska actually has, in proven and probable reserves, tens of thousands of trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. Let me say that again. Tens of thousands of trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. Prudhoe Bay, which everybody talks about, is just one small dot of sand on the beach of oil and gas in Alaska and the Arctic. And the reality is, it's been held hostage. They've had the rights to develop it since 1969 and have failed to bring it into production. The existing oil pipeline is running at 40% of its capacity, of its design capacity, not for a shortage of oil, but a shortage of a willingness to put our oil, domestic oil, through our pipeline.
Yeah, let's be clear. We're not even talking about new pipelines to add 60%
right.
more to the West Coast. It's paying on average $5 a gallon now. National average about $4.20. And this is a scientific, undebatable fact. And there's a lot of evidence that your father was killed for trying to bring this oil in as well.
That's right. And the other part of it is because of that empty capacity in the existing pipeline, you could put in within 2 years or even less, if it was an important enough issue, a liquefaction plant on the North Slope, and you could liquefy natural gas and have it go all the way through that pipeline along with that oil, have it separated at Valdez and be putting on tankers within 2 years rather than 10 or 15 in the way it's being pushed forward today. The fact, no one's asking these questions. You know, when Dad was in the Congress in the early 70s, he was that was a time where the oil embargo was about to take shape in 73. The pipeline was on the drawing boards in terms of building the oil pipeline in Alaska, and they couldn't build it until they had a settlement of the indigenous issues here. So they made an attempt at that with the Native Land Claim Settlement Act, the biggest in the history of the United States.
And you've been one of the elected leaders of the tribes as well, so you're involved in that.
Well, I've been a tribal administrator, which is not an elected, but I did work directly for the chief.
Well, your brother is a mayor of a major city.
That's right, and he's also a candidate against Senator Ted Stevens in this year's elections up here.
Who, by the way, is the architect of trying with one fell swoop to kill the Internet with ending net neutrality.
Right, and he was on the Technology and Science Committee and referred to the Internet as a tubes and pipes. I mean, this is a guy making the decisions that doesn't even understand the technology. Brother Mark actually is leading him in the polls right now and has raised about $1.25 million for his election in the first 4 months of his campaign.
You know, I don't say this jokingly, and I know it's serious to you because it's your brother. He better be real careful and not fly on any private planes.
Well, you know, he is careful, and hopefully things will go smoothly, and he'll win this election, get into Washington, and, you know, and on technology issues.
Well, you know, Stevens is like a mob boss, so.
Oh, yeah. We've got, you know, the IRS and the FBI raided his home here not too many months ago. His son has been named in a couple of criminal investigations. Several legislators are now in federal prison in California and Oregon. In fact, the guy I ran against in 2004 and had asserted he was corrupted by oil is actually in jail for oil corruption today and serving 5 years for that and another year for lying to the judge for perjury. You know, and this thing, what's happening here that people are not seeing in the mainstream media is this is our opportunity. We're talking about the National Treasury. They are leasing the offshore resources right now like it's a fire sale. I mean, for pennies on the dollar. And there's enough money in these natural resources that we, you and I, all own in common in this country. They're the public's resources that we lease to multinational companies to retire the national debt.
Now, Dr. Begich, I want you to go over all that evidence because your family's all involved in politics there, and you've studied it, and your dad was a congressman. I've studied the situation, and what you're saying is accurate. I want listeners to know that. But for those that don't understand, they have the image that five guys with beards and sandals have stopped drilling off the shore of Alaska, off the shore of California, that five guys in sandals stopped drilling in the Gulf. That is their front. The big banks, the big oil companies use environmentalists as their front. Meanwhile, the big corporations engage in cross-species, chimeras, seriously dangerous to the planet, all sorts of toxic waste dumping. You know, you're a progressive. We're talking about there's real environmentalism, and then there's fake environmentalism.
Yep. I'll tell you the story on that, Alex. You'll appreciate this. Back in after the Native Land Claims, it had a section of it, because Dad got him to override the chairman, Mo Udall, on this bill and got it passed. And then subsequently the pipeline passed. In fact, it was a tie vote in the Senate, 50-50, and Agnew broke the tie to get us an oil pipeline in the first place. And what they did is afterwards, D2 was a section of Alaska law that said they were going to set up parks and preserves. So Carter comes in, he does this major survey in the 70s, and they decide that we have 32 of the 33 strategic minerals that the country needs absolutely for our economy and our military in mineable quantities, in fact, world-class quantities. A lot of people don't know this, but we have the largest molybdenum deposit in the world. It's not even being worked. It's sitting at Tidewater. We have 600-foot coal seams on the coastline that
gold.
Are available, that are low sulfur. Tremendous resources.
Gold?
All through the state. Gold, silver, platinum, tin, everything.
It's a veritable and South Africa.
It is unbelievable. It dwarfs South Africa, as a matter of fact, because landmass-wise, take a look at what Alaska represents. In terms of fisheries, we're the largest fishery left on the planet, and most of it being taken by foreign fleets. The fact is, Alaska is a treasure house that is the potential of turning this country's economic situation around, because these are natural resources held in common, an application of technology. We can do today earth-penetrating tomography. We can look several miles deep into the Earth's crust and determine all of the mineral deposits and all of the oil and gas deposits with 99.9% accuracy.
Well, here's an example. Here in Texas, they found a giant oil and gas field from Dallas to Houston,
right.
And the really big majors have been trying to use environmental groups, some of the people, to shut down drilling, which has no environmental impact. I mean, they literally create maybe an acre pad and drill it and bring it out completely
yep.
cleanly. And the oil companies have been caught buying up all the oil refineries so that they just can't take it to market. And
right.
that's even been in the Associated Press. So they're busy blaming five hippies wearing sandals, and the five hippies think they're King Kong and go, man, we got power. No, you don't have power. You're being used and scammed
yep.
and laughed at. And so imagine what's going on in Texas, which has a fraction of what Alaska has.
Right.
I mean, the oil price could be cut in half tomorrow.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is what happened in D2, all the environmental groups got all enamored because the Rockefeller Foundation and all these foundations, these industrialist foundations, were giving them money. And they couldn't figure it out. Well, when they locked all this land, what they did is once they surveyed all this, they locked a big portion of it up in parks and preserves so you couldn't mine it except under one condition. See, it was open to you and me. As American citizens, we could go out and make a discovery and stake that claim and have the ownership of those mineral rights. We could go to patent if it was federal land, and if it was state, you could go to lease. But you had that right. When they locked up this federal land in this way, the only time it'll ever be available is in a national crisis, and then the multinationals will be invited in because they're the only ones that can mobilize. And then the real environmentalists, the ones who are concerned about a legitimate way of approaching development, all of a sudden, all that goes out the window because it's an emergency.
Yeah, let's be clear. Let's be clear.
Is a multinational.
Five guys in sandals, Earth First. You run nothing. You're a joke. You're funded by the globalists. I know you won't admit that. Losing's too important for you. Being scammed is always the object of, you know, being a chump. But I'm giving you the facts here, and Dr. Begich is giving you the facts, and they pretty clearly killed his dad over all this trying to bring out the facts. Understand, this belonged to the American people, and it was stolen, just like they find giant clean-burning coal deposits enough to run the whole U.S. for 200 years in Utah, and Bill Clinton
right.
says off-limits, and then they mine dirty coal in Texas, lignite, and then dump
right.
it in the plants and spew mercury and take the environmental rules off so they can burn mercury-filled coal. And the environmentalists yeah. dance around loving that, too. I mean, it's incredible.
Right. Yeah, we have anthracite here, which is very clean-burning. In fact, we used to fuel, during World War I, Alaskan coal fueled the Pacific Fleet. A lot of people don't know this. They shut them all down after the war was over. Copper, Alaska has, and there'll be a story to tell on this someday, but Alaska has huge deposits of copper. The Guggenheim family, when they owned all the copper in the country back during the 1870s and on, they owned all of it in Colorado, then they owned everything in Alaska, then they owned everything in Chile. They had a worldwide monopoly with J.P. Morgan up here. And what they left behind, because they left Alaska after not mining out the copper, it's just that labor was so much cheaper in Latin America. There were only 30,000 people living in Alaska 100 years ago when they discovered copper. And yet the copper deposit that was being mined at Kennecott was with five on a ratio of 15 times what they would mine per person in Montana. In other words, the copper ore was so rich at Kennecott that 15 times as much money was produced per person. They had an unbelievable discovery. Well, they left it. They left the buildings, everything, the machinery, pulled up the railroad and went to Chile because Chile had a million people that had their own agricultural base and they could pay them peanuts. And Alaskan labor was expensive in those days. And, an egg cost 100 years ago a buck. You talk about an egg costing money today, it was a dollar during the gold rush era. But the thing about all of this is when you start to look at the national resources and you look at, I'll give you another example.
It's all been locked away through phony conservation and it's all,
it's like a safety deposit box for the multinationals. They get to break it out later when the price is high enough. You know why oil is so high is because the alternatives are about to come in and the oil industry is getting as much money together in the big pile as they can because they're going to own that industry. Whatever those alternatives are, they're going to be in such a heavy cash position, buy out whoever's in the game. And that is the reason I believe they're capitalizing right now. They want to own the energy industry, whatever that looks like in the 21st century, and make sure you're stuck on a meter when the 21st century should offer us the opposite, and it does, where we shouldn't have any meters and we ought to be totally independent in our households with energy and our businesses with energy.
Well, I want to hear about some of those advanced technologies that they're suppressing and that they plan to own. And you're absolutely right with your research, and I know you can elaborate and teach us a lot. But this is economic warfare. They have built a society, especially in the United States and Western Europe, completely dependent on fossil fuels. With these sprawling cities and rural areas where you have to have the car, they have strategically blocked the development of other fuels and other energy platforms. And then now, as you said, they're not just getting a pile of money for investment. They state that they are now literally waging war on the population and are squeezing the middle class into extinction and transferring masses of the wealth to themselves in a predatory fashion to pre-position themselves in the 21st century to fully build a corporate control grid, police state system that they call their New World Order.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think when you look at the interlocking boards of directors in these corporations, when you start to analyze the relationships politically on a national and a state level, and you watch how that whole machine operates, if people fully had disclosure, and we work with unclassified materials and put together the picture pretty clearly, but if people had full disclosure of things that are truly not national secrets but are national embarrassments, we would be changing this government out in a dramatic way. And not to say that it should be violent or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is the truth of what has happened, and this is why the technology is so threatening to this establishment, because they recognize that, when people hear and they feel the pain of the results of this truth, which is fear of your loss of your pension, your Social Security, worry about your money in the bank and your money markets that could collapse.
And you find out it was all done predatorily by design. You're going to get mad. So they preemptively have a police state surveillance grid in place. We've got a break, but before we break, finish up the point we're making, but I want to get into the fraud of the global carbon tax, but go ahead.
Yeah, and that's another, that whole issue. The technology on the sciences, simple things, on the models taught in business school are make sure you get the customer coming back. So they don't want you independent in energy where you buy something and it lasts for 20 years and provides all your power. They want something that you have to go get a meter and plug into. This is why Tesla never got his free power grid on the planet, because J.P. Morgan, the same guy that financed the monopolies of almost every monopolist at the last part of the last century, all of that was about control.
Well, the new solar systems that the cities are paying for, that the feds are paying, subsidizing a discount for you to get, hook into the grid.
I'll give you an example. My brother Mark is mayor of Anchorage. They have a municipal light and power. They bought gas rights from Shell Oil. They bought them out of the Cook Inlet gas field they own. So the city bought the gas rights for $1.40 per 1,000 cubic feet. And what is it today? $13. And so the ratepayers are paying this incredibly good rate in the municipality of Anchorage for power, 7 cents, I think, a kilowatt hour, on natural gas.
You're paying
one thirteenth to buy it.
You're paying 1/13 with what everybody else pays, and the media calls that subsidized. No, that's what it really cost.
Yeah, that's actually what it costs, and the city was smart enough to buy those rights in a commercial market. You know, he wanted to just look into selling them, right? He wanted to sell them to, into the marketplace, because then he could retire all the debt for the city, you know, because it's gone up in value so much, and have a debt-free city. And their utilities commission won't let them do it because the ratepayers will pay too much, which I can understand too. But, you know, it's on balance. It's an interesting mix. But
here we go. We're going to skip the break. Here we go.
May I have everybody's attention?
Doc, we're going to come back and take everybody's phone calls for folks that are patiently holding. And I got so many calls here on screen.
We got to do this more often, Alex.
Oh, you bet. We got so many calls here on screen, John. Just re-input them so I know who's who or who's hung up.
Okay, yeah, just close your window.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you, sir. Doc, we are continuing. There's still a lot of people listening in this behind-the-scenes discussion. I just skipped some of the breaks now that we're streaming this live via PrisonPlanet.tv for the members, and then also people listening for free on the internet at Infowars.com. Let's start getting into the global warming fraud right now in about 3 minutes.
Right.
And then let's, because obviously there's climate change going on. They're manipulating the weather. You know, obviously there's real environmental crises. But even if you believe that carbon dioxide is causing warming, which the evidence shows it's not, their solution would ship all production to the third world with no controls and would actually boost, I've seen the studies, boost greenhouse gases. So even if you don't debate it and say it's real, their solution's a fraud, and they admit now you will buy the carbon tax credit from the private central banks, making them the world government.
Right. You know, this is, it's really nature. And you can look at, there's a great BBC special on this that was very well done. Laying the case, and we've said it, it's solar energy that contributes to the changes on the planet, and other conditions, undersea volcanics, that also contributes. We published that back in the mid-90s, and eventually you'll see that. It is really not man making this happen. It's nature. We did a video on this. I think you guys carried it. The Earth changes the ripple effect, and the subtitle is Alaska Sounds the Alarm, because in my lifetime, I'll be 50 this year, and in my lifetime, I've watched our glaciers recede, disappear up here, because it is getting warmer, but not for the reasons that are posed in the mainstream media. And the other issue is, when you talk about no regulation outside of the country, you're absolutely dead on right. In fact, if the U.S. stopped everything, just shut down the whole thing today, it wouldn't matter one iota, because China and India will surpass whatever we're saving within a year or two of stopping everything. And that's not realistic. The other issue is, you know, what we're really more concerned about is the toxins that are being put into the environment. And those are legitimate concerns. But the greenhouse effect is a natural phenomena, largely the excuse of taxing everyone. And basically, the globalists are looking at it from this perspective. They had 300 million people to test out how to create into marketing consumers and taxpayers, and forget that we're human beings. And now they want to experiment with that on 6.3 billion people they would like to catch up. And the money and the resources and the government.
Tell you what, stay there. We're coming back to the full audience. Recap that thought and continue. Here we go. Dr. Nick Begich is our guest. The website's Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We have links up on Infowars.com to his websites. You can go to earthpulse.com. That's earthpulse.com. And he has some others as well. We carry quite a few of his books and videos at Infowars.com. So be sure and check those out on the online video and bookstore. Your calls when we start the next hour, we're going directly to all of you that are holding patiently. Mason, Rusty, James, Paige, JD, thank you for holding. We're going to get to you. During the behind the scenes, for folks listening on the Infowars.com streams, I brought up global warming. Obviously, it's been every angle of science. The hoax is hundreds of thousands of scientists say it's not man-made, that it's natural, and then they've got a few hundred the UN hired who are quacks that say it is man-made, and we were just going over that. Now, are there real environmental things? Absolutely. Are we in a lot of trouble? Absolutely. But the globalists are just offering you a tax that will actually increase greenhouse emissions, even if you capitulate and believe the fraud that it's man-driven, when the UN's own report says 6%
of the greenhouse greenhouse gas emissions are 6% of the increase in temperature. But, Doctor, you were talking about why they're doing this, coming in, trying to block a renaissance, an excuse to bring us into a new technological dark age.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is about. You know, the fact that they want to keep us dependent until the last drop is drug out. But more than that, it's the wealth transfer. It's the markets that that are seen as 6.3 billion people try and catch up with what America has built. And for that to happen, America has to lose. We have to be decapitalized. The money has to go out of this country to somewhere else.
So they won't catch up. We're going to be lowered down to their level.
Yep.
And they even say that on NPR, like it's wonderful.
And the fact that, you know, what we saw here, you know, people don't realize, like, the coming banking crisis, which we haven't seen the beginnings of yet. And here in Alaska, when oil went the other way, when it was like $8, $9 a barrel in the mid-80s, people don't remember it. It took a big drop. Well, here in Alaska, one in three banks failed. One in three went out of business. One in 10 homes went into foreclosures. The bankruptcies were off the charts. And when we saw that happen here and what it did, and then the roll-up, because businesses have been here 50, 60 years, were caught in that trap. As housing developers defaulted and contractors defaulted and their subcontractors defaulted and then their employees defaulted, and people fell all around us. And that has not yet happened to the country for the opposite reason, because oil now is, you know, $130, $140 a barrel. That impacts. We are all counter-cyclic. Alaska is an oil state. So when oil's high, our state thrives. When oil's low, we suffer greatly because 85% of our revenue stream is oil-driven. And when you start to look at the national resources that are being auctioned off today, in the case of one of the big ones that just went off in northwest Alaska off the coast, that auction brought $2.5 billion today at oil at $140 a barrel. Prudhoe Bay, with one-tenth of the projected reserves, brought in $1 billion when oil was $3 back in 1969.
Okay, Doc, stay there. I want to finish up with that when we come back. We're about to start the fourth hour. We're going to go to your calls, but stay there. Before we end this hour, I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWars.com, link through on the bookstore and video store shopping cart, get the DVD, Angels Still Don't Play This Harp, a DVD, the latest info on harp. Also, we have his mind control video, his energy video, books. We've got all his best stuff at InfoWars.com. This is important material that needs to be seen by everybody, so please go to InfoWars.com and get Angels Still Don't Play This Harp. You've read the book, a lot of you will. Get the video. It's powerful stuff. Get the mind control video as well, where he goes over all the admissions of what they've gotten. Later, I want to speak some about that. Also want to get from Dr. Nick Begich his take on where the economy's going and how bad he thinks it will really get. But first, we're going to take about 30 minutes of your phone calls when we get back in just 70 seconds. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our beloved republic is on her knees. The forces of globalism are destroying national sovereignty worldwide. But in liberty's darkest hour, there is hope. The first time in modern history, the people are beginning to wake up. It is essential that patriots worldwide accelerate their fellow man's understanding of the New World Order master plan. We have a short time frame to fully awaken and energize the people to meet this threat. In the info war, PrisonPlanet.tv is a powerful weapon in the battle to regain our freedom. PrisonPlanet.tv is a vault of forbidden information. All 18 of my documentary films can be downloaded or streamed in super high quality directly to your computer or iPhone and shared with others. Thousands of special video reports, from tainted vaccines to martial law, can be found in this online video library. My weekly news television broadcast, thousands of exclusive audio interviews, and so much more. The InfoWar is waiting for you to set it free. Join Prison
and Terrorism
TV.
Preparedness
Burn
Bill.
The info bomb
As said
exist.
Bill requests emergency response funding up to and including, I'm sorry, this section is classified, dollars to prepare for national level
waging war
attack
on corruption.
From
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Funding.
I'm on air.
got Dr. Nick Megan for most of the hour. We're going to be taking your phone calls right now, but you were going to, when we hit the break, you were interrupted by that. Tell us specifically, you were getting into the value of the Prudhoe Bay proven reserves, a tiny area in Alaska.
Right. It was. They projected 900 million barrels of oil there, and the auction was $1 billion, basically, just under $1 billion in 1969 when oil was $3 a barrel. Now, here in Alaska, under this federal administration, a lease just took place that they raised $2.5 billion on an oil reserve that's projected to have 10 billion barrels in it. In other words, 10 times as much at a price that is like 40 times higher than it was in 1969, and we only get 2.5 times the money. Now, this is the fuzzy math of the biggest ripoff since the railroad barons. And people don't remember that. You know, they controlled all the corridors, so the farmer beats his brains out.
No, they convinced the public. They convinced the public there's no elites, no corruption, and then of course, they just totally took over.
Yeah, and what they're doing now is this acceleration of the offshore leasing because it's the biggest giveaway in the history of the country. If we did look at these resources differently in terms of how do we maximize their potential so that the public benefits. Here in Alaska, a lot of people don't know this, but because our oil revenue and what it does, we don't have a state income tax. We don't have a state sales tax.
In fact, the government pays you to live in Alaska.
That's right. In fact, right now, our legislature is in special session, and residents who have been here a year at the end of this session are likely going to see a $1,200 check show up for every resident.
And folks, that's how rich this whole country is. And Mexico has tripled the resources of the lower 48, but they're one of the poorest in the world because the elites want you poor as a mode to control you. It's in their own handbooks.
You know, the public resources are enough to supply the national treasury, retire the debt, eliminate income tax for individuals, and tax corporations when they use public resources.
But instead, we have a Federal Reserve that has set up a system where it's impossible to get out of debt. For money to be created, debt is created. It is a total fraud. Let's go to the calls.
Right.
Mason in Florida, Rusty, James, and others. Go ahead, Mason.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hey, Alex. I've been wanting to call in for a while, but I'm only 17. I live in Florida. When I first found out about this, I thought, like, not to be rude or anything, but I thought you were crazy and my friend was crazy. Once I saw Endgame and looked all everything up, I found out, but ever since then I've been trying to wake people up, but it's basically been like you're some crazy conspirator, you're in some fantasy world.
Hey, listen, I got neocons who on their own websites, because they send me their links, are in the military, and they say the dollar's not devalued, everything's fine. Dr. Begich, what is, it's like people are in a spell, at least some of them, where they cannot face reality. It seems to be more than denial. I mean, is it that they're so invested in lies they can't admit they were wrong?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, and it's that idea of never concede a point, you know, and most people never analyze a point, you know, and they bank on that. Well, when people are suffering, and this is what they're not banking on, and people are suffering in this country, and the inflation hasn't even started, I mean, the worst is yet to come, and that, in and of itself, although we hate to see it happen, is what it takes sometimes to wake up the American public.
And you can say it, I can say it. You can say it, I can say it. We told you so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's and yet the hope is still there because it's not over until it's over, and we still have a chance to take this republic back. And that's the thing. And I think people are feeling this all over the world. You know, when I travel quite a bit. I run into this in Europe. I run into it every place. You know, and when you start to think about it, it's just a different spin on the same formula, which is to enslave the public, to be dependent when we used to be independent. And in this century, we should be independent. Our technologies offer us the potentials that are just incredible. I mean, the solutions are already here. We just need a different political will to bring them into reality.
All right. On the InfoWars streams, we're going to skip this break, too. Stay there, Mason. Calls, everybody. We're going to continue right now. Okay, anything else, Mason?
One more thing. I was thinking about buying a rifle. You think I should?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking about getting like a semi-automatic AK.
Well, I wouldn't call it an AK because your weak-minded neighbors will say he's got an AK, and an AK is a fully automatic, and without your federal firearms stamp, you'll be SWAT team rated, and they'll call you a terrorist. Plus, you don't want fully auto for self-defense. You want what they call a MAC 90 or whatever the variant term is. Chinese is more inexpensive, but Bulgarian, Russian, Hungarian, that is a good 7.62-39, 30-round. I would go with Eastern European and then try to get a few thousand rounds of ammo and then try to get proficient, be able to shoot bullseye at 100 yards. And if you haven't owned guns in your life and weren't trained with a rifle, like a lot of people from Texas and other areas were, you need to go out and take some classes at the local shooting range and treat that gun as an important tool before you start using it on your own.
Okay, and one last thing. Once the internet basically gets like reordered, I think it's pretty much over.
Well, we're not going to let that happen. They've already tried a bunch of these internet attacks, and we've hammered them. I appreciate your call. In fact, your take on that. Dr. Begich, we have a lot of power. We've been affecting change.
I think that's true. And, you know, when you go back to other things that have happened where the internet served us and talk radio served us, you go back to when the FDA wanted to regulate everything out of existence back in the 90s again, and people, you know, the biggest response ever, 30,000 letters to the FDA, they'd never seen anything like it. And, you know, the fact is, as long as information does remain free, we have a fighting chance. But it's not over, I think, until it's really, truly over. And I think we're far from it.
Well,
you know, the American public is always 2 minutes to midnight. But, boy, that 2 minutes, a lot happens.
Exactly. The sleeping giant always 2 minutes to midnight there in sudden death overtime. We don't have a choice, and it's the fighting spirit. It's knowing that we can affect change and that we're not going to give up no matter how bad it gets. That's what allows us to win. And, of course, trusting God, our creator. I mean, looking at history, just modern time, I mean, haven't you in your personal life, I mean, I've seen this, but I'm guessing you've seen just people go from calling us kooks to almost everybody agreeing with us?
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, the thing about it is, and you're careful with this as well, you know, you always have the sources, you always have the citations, and eventually the mainstream does catch up. People start, they hear it, and then they go, oh, wait. Now the mainstream is reporting a little bit of this, and then it starts to make sense in the context of the experience that we're all living together. And when the predictions start coming true in terms of how technology gets used, and you made them 10, 12 years ago, you know, the record's clear. And it's not so much I told you so as it's, hey, it isn't over yet. You know, let's still get in the game, recognize that things that are in front of each of us, we all have a sphere of influence that we can impact. We just need to step into what we can do.
Sure.
It might be talking to our neighbors. It might be more
sure.
than that.
Here we go. Back to the main transmission. All right. Dr. Nick Begich, earthpulse.com, is our guest. Get his books and videos at InfoWars.com. Discounted out of the gates. Hope you'll order them there today. Support both of our works. We can continue onward. We're talking to Rusty here in just a moment, but I want to go back to what the last caller was saying about people laugh at me, they don't want to listen. Well, that may be your circle of friends, but I have found with the general public, most people are finally paying attention. And Dr. Begich and myself and others aren't saying, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, you were wrong, we were right. And it's like, hey, it's okay, it's not too late. Now join us, we got to fix things quick. We have a very wicked, very ruthless elite in control, extremely psychopathic, very unstable, very intelligent and inbred, but very dangerous, and like hybrid dogs. Or hybrid horses, you know, they can run real fast, but they'll bite you and they're nuts. This is what we're facing. And before we go back to the calls, well, let's go to calls, but don't let me forget other baggage. I want to get your view on the elite's endgame. From their documents, from their source research, you are a big stickler on this. What you believe they want to build, what type of world they want to construct when they talk about a matrix-like grid before you leave us. But right now, let's go to Rusty in Arkansas. You're on the air, Rusty.
Hey, Alex, I just wanted to first come out and say I apologize the way my call went last Friday when I called in. And just want to tell you I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean for you to get on the rant and go the way that it went.
Well, don't apologize for calling in, sir. Go ahead.
But I'm an info warrior as well as the rest of the callers, and we're out there pumping out CDs and trying to get out there and inform the public the best way we can. And I just want to call on all of you to remember Alex and your prayers if you're a spiritual person, and all of the guests, remember them in prayers as well. For your guest today, I just wanted to ask where he thought that the antivirus software companies might end up going due to the fact that they won't be needed with Internet 2 and with all the Internet security software providers and everything that are out there now. Basically, when they go to this net neutrality system, there won't be a need for it.
Well, let me just say, even on their grids, you're still going to have viruses and things. So yeah. they're going to have more of that. And virus software companies have been caught before making the viruses. So, oh, don't worry. The viruses won't be going away, Dr. Begich.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, most people don't know this. I think it's going to be used in the propaganda. It's going to be because terrorists and China in particular have basically gone in and analyzed every commercial and every governmental site as far into it as even the Joint Chiefs of Staff have been hacked. And what a lot of people don't realize is that residing in a lot of people's software are programs that can be activated. We develop our own software, so our engineers went through ours periodically, and we find periodically, right in the middle of it, a code that's been coded in Chinese. It's a table and a matrix that has not been activated but is sleeping in our website that we have to clean out every once in a while. And we've built safeguards now to keep them out, but the fact is most people have already been hacked. Most of the utilities in the country, most of the things that we rely on have been hacked through.
Well, here's an example.
There will be a crisis.
Well, there's economic hacking. Microsoft, this has all happened because they built things for their own back doors, and
right.
They built it so their NSA Snoop systems could plug right in, and now that's opened them up to all the other hackers.
Right. Plus, at the same time, it's a case of building that commercial information. I mean, knowing wherever you go is a very useful thing for commercial purposes and extremely valuable. Data valence, something we reported on as far back as 2000 in the book Earth Rising, the Revolution. You know, we got into this whole concept before it was even in people's minds.
No, you did. I remember having you on. Well, British News yesterday, and it was in my stack. I didn't get to it, but it was on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So much there that isn't on the show, folks. Be sure and visit those sites. And right there it said, oh, the government tracks your Bluetooth and tracks your phone and tracks your and uses it as a beacon to follow you. Well, that was built in to all the cell phones by international law by 2001. But see, they're just now announcing that, yes, they built it in and they're tracking you.
Yeah, and it was in those days, and it was actually laid out even further back in 1989. There was a document that was put together by the U.S. Army War College, and we talk about it all the time, and it was laying out the sort of plan for using GPS to track business travelers in case there was some conflict, they'd be able to extract them. And it morphed into, well, what later became cell phone technology and personal pagers, and then OnStar on your automobile. And, you know, now most people, I'm probably one of the few that don't carry a cell phone, you know, and it's not so much because of, you know, the idea of sticking a microwave next to my head and the health consequences alone. It's basically the whole package. You know, not only do I get unhealthy, but I'm enslaved to this device that I'm on 24-hour call. And then thirdly, it's the invasiveness of the invasion in your personal privacy. And I resent that. And I think it should have been safeguarded. And the thing about a lot of the laws is they don't know that not only do they not provide safeguards, but they're civil. These things need to be criminal laws that nail people and put them in jail. You know, when a few CEOs go to jail for illegal wiretapping instead of making it legal and giving people basically clemency for whatever evil they've done, we need to put some people in jail over this. And then the game changes. And the American public is sick and tired of having our digital doors kicked in by the Nazis of the 21st century.
I agree. Anything else, Rusty? We got to move quicker. Go.
No, that's it. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Rusty. Paige in Michigan, you're on the air worldwide. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask Dr. Begich, because I know he works a lot with electromagnetic technologies, if he had ever heard about this thing called the Clark Zapper.
Yes, Hilda Clark's device, and there's... She wrote a really excellent book on the subject, and, you know, it's one of many technologies, the idea of using electromagnetic fields to affect health, and being able to quantify and qualify that. You know, there's a lot of material out there on light therapies, laser therapies. In fact, I know some of the best practitioners in Europe that serve on the board for medical lasers, those that oversee applications of medical lasers for healing applications. Also, they use an electromagnetic probe that's used for acupuncture treatments. It's been very effective in treating a number of disorders. But these are, again, these are technologies that sort of give you back your power because they're curative, whereas most of the pharmaceutical industry is based on this idea of coming back for more. In fact, there's an excellent book. It's called Dirty Medicine. Maybe out of print. It was published in Great Britain back in the 90s. 900-page expose on the pharmaceutical industry with over, I think it was like 1,000 reference sources or more.
But I want to say this as well. We have to police ourselves because obviously there is frequency and light treatments. The Japanese are doing it, the Germans, the Dutch, as you know. There's a lot of things that are confirmed, thousands of different types of treatments that have been blocked. The problem is then you get quacks and kooks. Just because the government and some corporations are corrupt, well, that's human nature, doesn't mean then every group on the Internet's good selling $5,000 machines that are some flashing lights that then is used to discredit all the real research.
That is exactly right. And this is where people need to be careful. Don't look at testimonials. Look at real scientific evidence. And there's plenty of it around. And that's the point. And in today, it's easy. We ought to be able to find it. We can. And there's a lot of medical practice. A simple thing, artificial discs for your back just came in the United States 2 years ago. They've been done in Germany since 1983 and successfully, where a guy working a jackhammer, getting his L1 and L2 replaced, his back working a jackhammer in 10 weeks.
But they would rather go in and cut a piece of your hip out because it costs three times as much.
Right. And not only that, but the Germans have to post their medical procedures, their total cost. Post them. They're online. You can actually look them up. And German technology is not a slouch technology, and their public health departments are very much more active than ours. In fact, the German public health department warned schools that Wi-Fi was a risk to adolescents and small children.
And the Germans are also, years ago, said vaccines are bad for small children. They have mercury in them. Showing that not all the mid-level elites are bad. It's that the higher up elites know exactly what they're doing, and it's just so cold blooded. And then we tell people. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the science knowledge in Germany. See, the average person has a little bit higher science knowledge, so they can't lie so readily. You know, and what people know at high school in chemistry is sufficient for them to look at a report and understand. Hey, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, and we've dumbed our population down.
That's right. The Germans are real sharp. And it's hard to get stuff past them compared to us. Of course, in the past, we were known as the smartest and most cunning people. And now,
absolutely,
I guess we've had it good so long. We've been under the microscope of the New World Order being brainwashed. And we've just, I mean, it's this built-in denial by people, denying things that, I mean, I remember 10 years ago people saying there's no mercury in shots. And I'd go, here is the handout that comes with the shot. Yes, it's in there. And they'd say, and then the government said, okay, it's in there, but it's good for you. Then they said, oh, we took it out. Now they say, no, we never took it out, but it is good for you. Well, now they say it's in there, but it's bad for you. I mean, how many lies, Dr. Begich, do we have to get from the people running our government before we realize they are intellectually bankrupt and shouldn't be trusted with a toilet attendant's job?
Well, and you know, it's unfortunately the truth, and it's time to recognize things that have corrupted. And when you start to look at all these issues combined, I mean, I still think Americans do generate some pretty creative people, and some of the most outstanding, it's interesting, are homeschooled, which is, you know, as a past president of a teachers organization, I am the only one that I know of that was president of a statewide teachers organization that supports homeschooling nationally. And the reason I do is because it works, and it works very, very effectively. And the things that, that the way we used to teach and educate, it was about reading, about studying, and about mentoring. Now it's about script reading and propaganda. And this is where homeschooling and public schooling differs.
Okay.
All these things do link together. It's one big package.
We're going to skip this break, too, continue getting through the calls, and then I'm going to ask the big question to Dr. Begich. What is the end game? If the globalists win, if this unified technocratic elite funded by the private central banks has their way, what will it look like? What are we facing in the short, medium, and long term? EarthPulse.com is his website. Stay with us. Okay, Doc, let me ask you in front of all the Internet listeners. I know we had you until the bottom of the hour. But I want to, this is so interesting, we've got to do this more often, we're just both so busy. I want to go ahead and keep you to the end of the show, which is in about 35 minutes. If you can't do it, that's okay.
Just if we can just give me about 5 to 12, because I've got to change and run to a meeting at 12:30, but that would be fine.
Okay, so
5 till the hour. We can go till then.
That's fine. In fact, I'll let you get out of here at 51 after.
All right, that's perfect. That must be one of the breaks that we keep missing.
Yeah, so you're saying, I mean, as long as you're gone by the last 5 minutes, you're fine.
I'm good, yeah.
So you're good till 51 after this hour.
That's good.
Good, good. Okay, let's continue so we don't waste time we've got. Go ahead.
You know, when you start to look at all of this as it connects together, you know, when you think about education as an example, some of the technologies that are out there that could accelerate the educational process in some pretty dramatic ways in terms of being able to retain information, being able to use that information more creatively, and yet these technologies stay on the shelf for 20, 30 years before public education ever gets a grip of them. In the case of attention deficit disorders, as an example, there are technologies today that in 80% of the children that have used them, within 30 to 45 days, they can be taken off of all their psychoactive drugs. Their brain capacity in terms of being able to moderate their brain activity into the range where you're ideally suited for intellectual learning is self-controlled. In other words, they don't need the drugs anymore. They can get into a focused state of learning like you and I can do when we read a book or we normally function.
But that would put the drug companies out of business, and they don't want that. Let's go ahead and go back to the calls. Paige, anything else? Okay, she's gone. JD in Texas, you're on the air with Dr. Nick Baggage. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I was looking on C-SPAN, and I was going to tape this thing, and it had EPA on there, and had three of them, two EPA types and another independent, and they swore them in, and then they gave their opening statements. Well, the independent, and I call him the whistleblower, he was about to spill the beans on the whole thing, and C-SPAN cut him off right in the middle of his testimony and went to another program.
Yeah, C-SPAN in the past was a good organization. Now Fox News has bought control of it a few years ago. It's really degrading quickly, and we have to come out and complain about it, or they're going to go ahead and just set the precedent to do it. But you say spilling the beans on what? What was the EPA hearing? Because I know of them doing similar.
His own global warming. It was a Senate committee investigation. They was going to have a testimony, and then they was going to tell the Senate what they needed to do to fix it.
Well, let me bring this up.
The guy's name is Roy Spencer. And he's a former senior climate scientist, former NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. And his name is Roy Spencer. Sounds like a good guy you need to get in touch with and get him on the program.
And did it say where he was from or who he's with now? Because former senior climate
scientist
at the Marshall Space Center?
Well, yeah, NASA, Marshall Space Flight Center.
Well, that's
I don't understand all that.
Sure, let me bring this up to Dr. Baggage. One of the top climatologists who studies carbon load in Australia has come out and said he was wrong and bullied into saying it was man-made, that it's not man-made, that they have a huge exodus of top scientists saying that it's not man-made and that it's natural. Dr. Baggage, that's going to be a problem. Well, we're coming back to the live program. Here we go.
My only friend.
We were just talking to J.D. in Texas about C-SPAN cutting off a climatologist formerly with NASA. Dr. Baggage, they have top rocket scientists, top climatologists. I mean, every day they're going public saying it's all fraud, it's lies. People who they claim had signed on to UN agreements are saying it's all lies. They're in trouble. I mean, their little hoax is in trouble.
Well, you know, the biggest contributors are not man. Man contributes less than 1%. It's nature. You know, right now we have two volcanoes going off in Alaska that are producing more than man's producing at any given moment, I can assure you, on this planet. When you start to look at the real releases, you know, methane gas, which is a big contributor, 20 times more than CO2, and methane is being released because of natural climate change here in the Arctic. We have permafrost across the Arctic regions of Alaska, Russia, Canada. And the permafrost is like 100,000 years of soil that hasn't had a chance to fully degrade, of organic matter that is now degrading and releasing methane 20 times more potent. And that is actually accelerating the cycle, but it's a natural cycle. It happens from time to time, and people don't recognize it as such. There are other contributing factors for climate change. Pole shift, which happens fairly regularly geologically. The last time it happened was 15,000 years ago, which correlates to the last ice age starting to end. And when you start to look at all these things together, and we do in our videos and books, we analyze a lot of this. And the reality is nature is doing it.
Well, that's why I had one of the Rothschilds on, the guy pushing all this stuff, and I brought up, well, why are the ice caps melting on Mars? And
Right. He
just said, because Mars is closer to the sun than Earth. And I said, no, it's not. And he just laughed, knowing that the average American is so dumbed down, they're just going to believe him. And then I was debating another one of these guys on air, and he just said there are no ice caps on Mars. And I was like, you know there's ice caps. They just don't care. They are counting on people being dumbed down. And that's a great insult to people. Okay.
You know, and it is. And it's the system that, you know, and scientists are very elite. You know, you think there's a lot of competition in business. You've not seen anything until you've met scientists. And these guys are ruthless and in terms of how they behave towards one another. And it's amazing. And yet they claim almost like it's if you challenge them outside of their discipline, they're supposed to be an expert in everything. And nobody is. None of us are. And the fact is, even Ben Easton, we first were dealing with Ben. You know, he and I, we had a good rapport, and we're always friends up until his death. But he listened. You know, he looked at what we raised, and he analyzed that. And then he actually started talking about activists not being ignored, but actually being listened to, because people can get educated outside of their discipline. And this is where the arrogance of so much science and the expectation that the average person won't ask the questions, and science feels like somehow they're above the challenge, and they should be challenged just as vigorously as anyone else, whether you're in politics, business, or the arts.
Well, I agree, but bottom line, the message is the ice caps and the ice moons of Jupiter and Saturn are not melting because of SUVs.
That's right,
and
it is reality, and they know it, and they've monitored it, and all of that tells us, again, it's the solar cycle, and
it's
there's
the sun.
Many, many scientists saying this today.
Yeah, and now they want a tax on carbon dioxide, that is one of the four ingredients of light, of life. Light, water, carbon dioxide, and oxygen. Got to have those four things, or you don't have life on this planet. But by being able to tax one of the key, you know, basic factors of life, that gives the private banks total control. And think of the boldness, the arrogance of brainwashing for decades about the environment. It hijacks any real environmental concerns of the cross-species engineering and the toxic waste dumping and rainforest chopping, all accelerates, but we all feel good and tax our evil carbon that the rainforest breathes. It is just so diabolical to see it. And then they, as I told people they would do, because I read it in Think Tank documents, then they announced 6 months ago, you're going to buy your carbon credit from the private central banks, making them the government. Let's go to another call, and we'll go into break with J.D. in Texas. J.D., you're on the air with Dr. Nick Begich.
Yeah, Alex, I told you about the Roy Spencer.
Yes, you were just telling me about that. You
okay.
Want to finish up?
I got some more information. He's a University of Alabama principal research scientist.
You know, I think we may have interviewed him. Okay, thank you so much. We're going to go to break, talk behind the scenes with Dr. Nick Begich, take more of your calls. Again, behind the scenes means PrisonPlanet.tv viewers are watching us live on TV. We'll still be live behind the scenes during this break. And then for Internet streams, we're going to keep talking. For everybody else, we'll be right back. I don't want to waste any time with guests like Dr. Nick Begich. Go to Infowars.com to listen right now. Okay, thank you. University of Alabama, Roy Spencer. So I'll have to check into him, and we'll see about getting him on. Let's go ahead and talk to Jonas in Canada. You're on the air. Welcome.
Welcome. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hey, I watched your documentary, The End Game. I'm here from Montreal, Quebec. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've never seen a documentary like this in my life. And may Jesus bless you for this work, because this is the information I was looking and investigating for years. I wanted this information. Now I have the truth. Well, as an evangelist, my job is to save souls and to do the same work as you do, to awaken, you know, those who are sleeping. Because, you know, the churches here are sleeping. You know, they don't seem to see this evil in front of them. And I see it, you know, very well.
What do you think about, yes, sir, you're on air. What do you think about the issues that we've been discussing? Do you have any comments for Dr. Nick Begich? I'm going to come back when we finish a few calls, and we are going to, for the rest of the audience, talk about what he believes their end game is, what drives the New World Order, what their master plan is, what this great work is they're building, how they want to build a world government to reduce our population. I mean, that's their stated goal, but I want to get his expertise on it. But if you would like to speak about Endgame, that's fine. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Begich, that's fine as well. Jonas, anything else?
Yeah, I have another question.
Okay, go ahead.
In Quebec, I want you to explain to me, okay? Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on air, sir.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Okay, there's a new driver's license in December is coming here, okay? It says all Quebecers will have to choose between a traditional driver's license and another one with a microchip called RFID. Can you explain?
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
What is RFID?
It's radio frequency identification devices. They can track everywhere you're going and what you're doing, and this is how they're doing it. They're phasing it in. You have to have it with a U.S. passport now. The new passports have it. It is going into all the driver's license here, and you don't have a choice. In some areas of the world, they are saying you have a choice for a few years, but then no one has a choice. It destroys any privacy, allows thieves to steal it, but that's designed to cause greater identity theft, and then they come in with more regulation and more control. Let me get Dr. Begich's comment on that. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. In fact, RFID, they said you couldn't read them except right up close, and the fact is from 2 kilometers away you can read them, and that was announced a couple years ago. And the idea of density, the amount of information stored on one of these and the miniaturization of them on a nanoscale is happening at such a tremendous rate. As things get smaller and information density gets bigger, the amount of information on that little microcircuit about you becomes significant. And the fact that because it's technology-based, readers will be decoded like every cell phone secret is and every internet.
They've already caught them doing it. Here we go to the main audience.
Yep.
Here we go. I remember about 6 years ago, it was in the San Francisco Chronicle that the instant pay toll road RFID stickers they were putting on their cars, the feds had paid for a grant all over the city to track you by your name and by your vehicle everywhere you went, and that was going in a database. And now with Texas Tag and K-Tag and SecureTag and all these companies, they're tracking everywhere you go, your cell phone. The caller was asking about RFID. Dr. Begich, break down RFID for us.
Yeah, this is, again, instead of a barcode, which was unique to, say, an item or a product, RFID is unique information about that specific item. In other words, one of the things that's visualized with RFID is that eventually every product will have this, so that the IRS, as an example, could walk into your home, wave a reader, and tabulate the value of all of your contents and figure out if it lines up with your income, as an example. An insurance company could use it in terms of tracking you coming in.
They would also know the whole history of all those goods to know if you were engaging in what's going to be totally illegal. And in fact, they're about to pass a law. It also will shut down shopping carts. You have to report on yourself in real time to the feds through the merchant accounts. And they're saying that barter and swap meets, and that it will be a federal felony offense to have even garage sales. Go ahead.
You know, this is when you want to talk about the predictions, this is about the most directed and controlled society ever envisioned, or at least ever envisioned since the Book of Revelations and the revelation of John on the island of Patmos. You know, the fact is, It's about total, absolute control over what you do, where you go, whether you buy, whether you sell, whether you're part of the system or excluded from it. And, you know, that is a significant transfer.
And by the way,
of power.
You wrote 10, 12 years ago about all this and said it would be used in a predatory fashion. Everything you said has come true. In fact, I remember reading your stuff a decade ago. It's worse than what you said, because I know you knew it was worse, but you held back just to be credible. And you know, now you had an institute up that just studies all of this with some folks involved with the lay fortune. So a lot of serious people are really concerned about all this. But when you go to RFID conferences or you read their minutes that are on the web, they say this is predatory. This is to control. This is a Defense Department directive. This whole grid going in, you want to explain to people that it isn't just us saying this has bad uses. We're told it has some everyday commercial use, but that's only to fund it. They're very smart. They fund it through the free market. They have us pay for our own enslavement. They admit it's diabolical.
You know, and it's the tagging of the individual. You already have a number. It's your Social Security number. It tags you to everything you do. And is supposed to be safeguarded. You have other identifiers. And when you look at the data banks, the groups that have lost data and gotten nailed for it, or groups we reported on before anybody even knew their names, because they had DOD, Department of Defense contracts to develop that data, and they were looking at ways to create sort of from cradle to grave the whole profile of the individual. And a couple of these programs got shut down in the 90s, and then renamed and relabeled and regurgitated right back at us. And this is the problem, is these longstanding bureaucracies that hide behind privacy as national security and, in fact, are working against every one of our security by using this system of government to corrupt the very systems that should be protecting us. The idea of a totally controlled financial institution, as people are looked at as consumers and taxpayers, as just contributors in that way. And it is an elite attitude, because the best in science, the best in religion, the best in everything that we do came from the mavericks that stood out, that weren't part of some elite. Whether you look at the airplane, microcomputers, the best things that affect us in the most profound way happened by you and me, average people who saw things just a little bit differently.
Well, that's it. The elites always, when they get full control, create stagnant dark ages and persecute free thinkers. And after they get rid of the most free thinkers, now the next group is seen as radical and radical and radical. And the persecution just continues until societies finally collapse. And the elites even admit that they've done this. So they say, well, we're going to have a scientific dictatorship so that no one can ever rebel and so that we don't collapse. And that brings me now, Dr. Begich, to their end game. Studying, I know you get into core documents, who the elite are, what they planned on building, this high-tech police state, the plans to reduce our numbers forcibly, control bioweapon releases. I mean, break down what, from the evidence you have, what their end-game goals are and what we're facing if we don't fight back.
Well, I think it's two things. When you really look at it, sort of what works against us and what works in their favor. And there's only a certain level they want the populations to be driven down to, because they lose, too, if it all collapses. So you need to control it. You need to actually manipulate it. And both, whether liberal or conservative, doesn't really matter. It's a different rationale, you know, for control, but the rationale is still there. And it's exploited by the same organizations that are behind the scenes. And it's the global corporations, predominantly. You know, corporations, once the founders die, are soulless creatures that live forever, you know, that exist on a foundation of greed. You need to reshape sort of that and build into it the kind of safeguards that hold people accountable, not just in government, but within corporations when they can have such a huge impact on human populations as they do. When you look at reduced populations as a big issue, you see it, but, you know, the real official population is so understated, because in the third world, the cost of a birth certificate is more than a week's wages, and most people don't even have them. They're born in their homes. So the unofficial population is probably 50% more than what we hear officially reported. And when you look at disease, disorder, and the price of food alone, and how many people will die in the next decade, just because food, although the third world is emerging, they will be starving. And you're already seeing it. Food riots that aren't reported on the mainstream media, imagine that in this country. And here's what someone said to me. And they're talking about how horrible it's going to be in the U.S., and, you know, they're giving this Armageddon picture. For somebody living in the suburbs of Bombay, Armageddon already happened, and they're living the experience. And we need to recognize that on this planet, we are going to be subjected to that same Armageddon, or we're going to avoid it based upon how we use our judgment. The responsibility of having this economy rests with every one of us. The responsibility of doing the right things with our economy and our government rests with every one of us, not with elites from somewhere else with no national identity. We need to take back our government, our natural resources, and make sure they're working in the interest of the populations that live in this country, in this sovereign country, and at the same time be a light to the rest of the world as was originally intended, not a dictator to the rest of the world.
Well, I agree with you, Dr. Baggage. I want to take a few final calls here before you have to leave us, but there is a debate within the elite, and I mention this every few days because it's such a big deal that local Texas papers reported what I've witnessed and what I know you've witnessed being all over the world, this anti-humanism, this teaching us to be guilty about our own life, that is only the elite training us to take away our life force instinct, our survival instinct, to create some type of psychological love affair with death. That is only the elite wanting to basically remove our propulsion system from society, what propels humanity forward. They're trying to destroy and teach us to, you know, basically hate ourselves.
Right.
And so you have a debate between the elite. A minority only believes that half of us should be killed. And, you know, they say phase that in, one-child policies, euthanasia. The majority say 80% need to be killed and that bioweapons need to be released, and they have to have a global police state to do that in orderly fashion. They need to have smaller bioweapon releases to test covering it up and test how it spreads and to prepare larger releases. But then now it's radicalizing where the largest minority of elitists and their minions say 90% need to die, with another subset minority that's growing saying all humans need to be killed. And then these people, you will notice, who are even talking like this on their own websites, graduate students, doctorates, are working in bioweapon labs and bioweapon lab-related systems, and the government is recruiting them to work in the facilities. This is a mega threat. And I put out calls for this, and basically my listeners demanded it, and the FBI did go visit some of the UT professors and others that were calling for the death of 90% of us who were connected to bioweapons production. But still, they should be removed from their positions near bioweapons and weaponized agents. Can you comment on that?
You know, I would agree with you. Anyone who makes those kind of statements obviously shouldn't be developing those kinds of systems. You know, the thing about global population, and it's another fallacy in my mind. You know, when you look at global populations and the true resources of the world, there are sufficient resources. And this is the biggest secret. I'm not talking about everybody going back.
We need to build ocean cities. Ocean cities very cheaply, inexpensively off the coastlines that will become huge natural reefs and then mine the reef. Exactly.
And we have the opportunity to solve all of these problems. But again, it's about denying really what we are. You know, we're created in the image of the Creator. Many of us believe that. And that means we have an access point that scares the hell out of the elite. Because if we were fully actualized as human beings, if we were fully manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, which have been documented in science in many, many ways, then, you know, and that is really where the fear is on their side. You know, when we talk about all these issues, the best way to keep people from reaching those high latitudes is by fear. Fear raises your brain activity into the high beta ranges, where you cannot reach these higher states of created consciousness, where we are in our most creative states, our most intellectual places, where artists thrive, where the painter thrives, where the politician thrives when they're doing the right work, where the person has that sense of who they are. It happens at a different brain frequency that cannot be realized. Let me say it again. If you're in a state of fear,
they are knocking out.
The government perpetuates.
They are knocking out our sense of purpose and our sense of building the species. Because let's face it, our lives are twinklings of an eye, but the species goes on forever. You understand? And so that's why you have this eternal feeling. That's why you love nostalgia and love thinking about your ancestors, because we all realize that we live on, even if you don't believe in the spirit. We live on through the species. My ancestors live on through me. My progeny, I will live on through them. And through, and I really think about my great-great-grandchildren when we've terraformed Mars, if we beat the New World Order, you know, when we're going out to Alpha Centauris. I actually get excited thinking about them and all the wonders they're going to see, and I want to beat the New World Order even if I get killed, because I literally have a passion for my progeny, and that just doesn't mean my flesh and blood, but all of us, the same genetic code. We are magical, powerful, dynamic creatures, and the globalists are jealous, envious, hoarding, greedy little bastards who are, you're right, who are trying to hoard this for themselves, and they say it. They say, we're going into the future, you're not. And folks need to know that they're trying to damn us off from the future, and this is the fight we're facing.
You know, when you look at all of it, when you look at it in the backdrop, again, of what's possible, and that's what the, all of the research and technology, you know, tells me all the horrible things. And in the mind control area, the thing that the government discovered that scared the heck out of them was when they started unraveling the fact that human beings have all these latent potentials. I mean, can you imagine the average person being able to look through government and see what is hidden in those dark places? There'd be a lot of people gnashing their teeth in that scenario. And the fact of the matter is, we do have those capabilities. They documented them. The fact is, artificially within the lab, it's been created where you can actually see that play out. It's just as bizarre as 500 years ago, the average person being able to read a book. You know, the fact is, science is doubling from the invention of the wheel to where we are at the moment every 9 to 10 months. The possibilities are also doubling. And it's a case of re-looking at it. You know, keep the internet free, which is where we started this today, because that is an opportunity to exchange ideas where the guy in the bicycle shop invents the next airplane. You know, the guy in the garage invents the next microcomputer, as an example. You know, these are things that are possible today like no other time in history. And they're being taken from us because of the fear of the elite, because they fear the average man, the average woman on this planet.
They want to hoard their control, and they're blocking developments and systems that could give them life extension, that could give them so much. Their greed is only hurting them. We'll take a few final calls. And for TV viewers, this is a salacious crumb. I was joking about how he looked like David Rockefeller. So Burma's ordered me one off eBay, and he just came in and gave it to me. That's David Rockefeller. You're laughing. You know who Salacious Crumb is?
No.
You know that creature, that Jabba the Hutt's little pet?
Okay.
David Rockefeller. David Rockefeller's in studio today. A little bit of fun here. Let's go ahead and talk to Archangel from Pittsburgh, PA. Go ahead. Come in, Archangel.
Alex, Dr. Baggage, how you doing?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up some quick things about the energy they're keeping. Four quick points. What about the free energy out of the air that was originally designed by Nikola Tesla, the water car Stan Meyer produced, then they murdered him for it, and the government came and took it. The anti-gravity drive, or the hydrogen drive that they have, that they use on the Astra TRB-3, that's a black project, next ops like Aurora. And they have cold fusion developed already, and gravity warping. What about those things there?
You know, all of those, there's quite a bit out there on. But, you know, the ones that are the most potential are these exotic technologies. They tend to be suppressed. So there's one in particular I saw which was using microwave energy. And what they did is they oscillated the microwave at a point where it oscillated the same frequency as water. And what it caused, through resonance, a very little amount of energy in, caused the two elements to split, the hydrogen and the oxygen, very efficiently, and it would burn instantly. We had, for a while, a posting of that video on our website, but the fact is there are many methods to get us energy just by recognizing how to sort of crack the elements. Another one is sodium borohydrate, which is an element that can be electrolyzed with water that'll cause it to split very vigorously. You know, a lot of science has been developed. MIT, even in the mainstream with GE, showed a fuel cell 2 years ago that was producing energy at the equivalent of $3 a gallon gasoline, and you haven't heard a word about that.
Well, Flange and the other guy actually made something that was giving off power. Now, hundreds of Absolutely. Universities have done it, but because the media yep. tried to discredit that then, people just say, oh, that's fake. That doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter how many journals it's published in, absolute fact.
Right. And it was. And it was replicated, I think 6,000 times was the last number I read. And, you know, it still doesn't explain, you know, explain it fully, but that's okay. You know, these are, this is where, again, science is ruthless. And the mainstream and the academic institutions, it's a very jealous environment of experts that are afraid of their own shadow.
And you've got a lot of them who have developed theories that have been proven false, and they're not about to be made laughingstocks of, and so they're going to continue to put their disinfo out. Dr. Begich, we're going to let you go after this break. You're going to be gone in 3 minutes. We're going to talk to Brian, and Jeff. They'll each get about a minute, and then I'm going to let you go because I know you've got to go to that meeting. Final segment after this break for everybody listening on the AM and FM dial and Global Shortwave for InfoWars.com stream listeners. The show will continue with Begich right now. Be right back.
Attention, GCN listeners.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and talk to Begich here. Doc, let's go to Brian in Texas real fast. Brian, you're on the air. Some reason I can't hear Brian there, John.
Hello?
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, Brian. Go ahead, bro.
I'm on the air.
He's just going to keep saying that. Okay, thanks, Brian. That was Brian in Texas. Let's go to Brian in New York. Brian in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, go ahead.
My question was about ARP. And
yes.
Would all these cell phone towers that are everywhere, could they possibly be used for the same purpose that HARP is intended for?
For some purposes, you know, any electromagnetic carrier, cell phones in particular, can be used for transmitting signals that will affect, for instance, emotional states of people. And you can do it in sort of the background of your normal phone communications, as an example. Any electromagnetic carrier. There was an article, and I know Alex has reported on this from before, it's The Mind Has No Firewalls at the U.S. Army War College Quarterly Perimeters. And any carrier, whether it be power lines, radio, TV broadcast, the internet, cell phones, et cetera, can be used to influence behaviors of people over either narrow bandwidths like cell phones. You could even, the new antenna designs allow you to sort of focus on a specific individual within 1 meter, so you could target an individual or you could use it for a larger population segment.
And of course, Dr. Begich, I should have gotten you on today and gotten you to talk about all the chemical, biological, radiological testing on the people. In fact, let me set you up in a couple of weeks, have Trey call you in the
Perfect.
Next few days, just to come on, get all your files out, and get into testing.
Perfect. That sounds great. Because it's, you know, this is, again, an important area, because when you start to talk about all of this, the people that have paid the price are the Americans. You know, we've been the victims.
Oh, yeah, we've had
already admit.
Because we've been the superpower. We've had the big aggressive elite that wants more, more, more. And so they've used us basically as their tool shed mercilessly. Brian, anything else?
Yeah, real quickly. If they were to spray, say, aluminum and barium into the atmosphere, could that enhance HARP's capabilities?
It's a possibility, and I've heard this before. And actually, we'd have to talk more about it than we got time today. But the barium and aluminum also appear as pollutants coming in from Asia. Naturally within our environments, and in many areas in the area of bauxite and aluminum production, they have a lot of aluminum, particularly material. You don't need that. You don't need any of that in order to enhance the signal.
The Chinese burn a lot of their trash, and it blows right into the jet stream right across the U.S.
That's correct. In fact, there's a dissertation that became a book called The Secret Lives of Dust, which I would recommend to this listener.
Doc, we're out of time.
Secret Lives of Dust.
Yeah, and thank you, Brian. Doc, we're out of time. I'm going to have Trey call you. I want to set you up for 2 hours, talk about chemical biological testing soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, and God bless your audience.
You bet. Earthpulse.com. Take care, Doc.
Perfectly still, but nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud.
Back live, worldwide transmission. Salacious Crumb is our guest in studio. you know, couldn't David Rockefeller just repent of all his evil and just be happy and help people and not be so wicked? But in their own sick way, they think what they're doing is good to the world. It's actually horrible. But we're basically out of time. I want to cram Jeff in Maryland in, and I do want to tell everybody we carry his new video on HARP. It's from the book, but updated. Great DVD, Dr. Nick Begich at Infowars.com. Angels still don't play this HARP. We have his mind control video, several other documentaries and presentations he has made available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139. And a lot of people are calling in, ranting and raving about Endgame. That film is really getting big. My films always kind of have a delayed response. We don't have time for that with Truth Rising. If you have the DVD, please make copies. If you have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, download it in super high quality. Please burn it on disc or CD. Give it to people now. Because it's just such a powerful film. I don't have time to get into it. Just check it out. Get the film today. Again, I want to go to Jeff. Before we do that, the sponsor of the day is Ecola Blue. They are just an amazing company. We have one here in the office. It grabs gallons and gallons, up to 28 liters of water in 24 hours, 7.5 gallons. That's in high humidity, but in desert it produces 2 gallons a day. Atmospheric water generator. It's got 5 filters in it, easy maintenance, just an amazing system. And I'd seen these years ago in companies and places, and then I saw them online. I said, get that as a sponsor. That is really neat. You can hook it up to solar panels. You can get water anywhere, even if you're off the grid, anywhere. This sucker gets water, ladies and gentlemen. And it's totally clean and pure. 866-585-4044, Ecola Blue, 866-585-4044. Or EcolaBlue.com, big banner on Infowars.com, ECOLOBlue.com. Okay, you're our tail gunner, Jeff in Maryland. You're on the air worldwide. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just wanted to throw in a little something and say that, you know, with your guests and everything, for some 4 decades, a period roughly spanning 7 administrations, the government's intelligence agencies and police agencies have broken the law and violated the Constitution, and I think it's unnerving to think that the kind of totalitarianism that's taken place in America, and I think that it's just mind-boggling that the American people are not recognizing it. And, you know, people talk about the NSA spying program, Alex, but, you know, for more than 2 decades, with the collusion of the communications companies, the NSA and Operation Shamrock received copies of millions of cables and other things sent through the United States from, I think it was around 55 to 75, the FBI investigated almost 1 million subversive targets, and the CIA indexed hundreds of thousands.
Man, listen, you're an awesome caller. Call me back tomorrow. I'm going to have a lot of open phones this week. You're great, Jeff. I wish I would have gotten to you earlier, but absolutely, thank you so much. Exactly. They're violating the Fourth Amendment. We have a criminal government, a criminal elite. We got to get America back. Retransmission starts in 10 seconds at Infowars.com on the audio streams. Go there now. For everybody else, see you back live tomorrow at Infowars.com.